What I'd like to talk about today is the Old and the New Testament. Now, they are so misunderstood because so many people think that they oppose each other, and they don't. In reality, the Old Testament is magnificent. I just love reading the Old Testament. In fact, you remember if you go to Mass on Christmas, on the midnight Mass, and during the season of Christmas, they read the entire genealogy of Jesus. And you see all of these characters that where Jesus was in his line of people. And when you study Scripture, especially the Old Testament, you see the magnificent women that were powerful throughout the history of the people of God. These great women of faith and strength who literally oftentimes saved the people of Israel. And the prophets, how many of them were stoned because the devil was trying to track down Christ? He didn't know who he was, and so every prophet was eventually stoned or killed or thrown out of the state or hurt in some way or another. That's why the devil went after him. And Jesus, that's why he went after Christ so completely. He never knew until Christ died on the cross and his power was destroyed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, if you look at the Old Testament and the New, we can define them in the exact same definition. That's how close they are. One is just a continuation of the other. In fact, we are Jews to a certain extent as Roman Catholics because we believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you want a definition of a Jew, that's how you define a Jew. The God, one who believes in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so therefore, we are a continuation of the people of Israel. Christ came not to abolish the law, but to perfect the law. If you look at the Old Testament, the only religion on earth that prays for their dead, Jews and Catholics. Why do you think that is? Because we come from the same stock. We come from the people of God. We are the people of God. And so when we look at the Old Testament and we look at the New Testament, we see that it is truly about the same God. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how many people have told me in my lifetime, oh, I don't believe in the God of the Old Testament, but the God of the New. I'm just amazed at that phrase. Because to me, I see the exact same loving, kind, tender, compassionate God. Remember, the people of the Old Testament were hard-headed. And God had to show them through signs and wonders and miracles and how many times he saved them by the skin of their teeth. How he raised them up over and over and over again. Even though they constantly were going against his covenant, God remained faithful. God doesn't punish people. He didn't punish the people of Israel. They punished themselves. God left them to their own designs so many times to show them how much they needed God, how much they needed God as their Father. In other words, the one who provides everything for them. And all they had to do was be faithful to the covenant. Christ is faithful to the covenant, the new covenant, not in the blood of lambs, but in his own blood. That's why we call Jesus the Lamb of God. The lamb was immolated. The blood was released from the lamb. And then that blood was sprinkled on the people because the Jews saw that blood as belonging to God. So it was God's blood that was sprinkled on the people for the forgiveness of their sins. So Jesus hangs on the cross, sheds his blood, his body is drained as the new Lamb of God. And it is God's blood that is sprinkled upon the people through the sacraments, especially through the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, this Old Testament is so beautiful in the little gems that are throughout the entire thing. And we see over and over again how loving God is. Think about it for a second. What is the Bible, Old and New Testament? What is its definition? Sure, we could call it the history of the people of God. Most certainly, new and old. Sure, we could call it the history of our salvation. We could call it the history of the people of Israel. We could call it the laws and the commandments of God, what God expects of us, what he wants of us. But above all things, if you are ever going to understand the sacred scriptures, beginning from the moment of creation in Genesis to the last word of the prophets in the Old Testament to Christ's death, passion, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. You will never understand it unless you see it for what it really is. The sacred scriptures is a love letter. I've said this before, but so often we need to hear things over and over again before they actually sink in. The Bible was written so that we would know how much God loves us, how much He cares about us, how tender He is, and how He is really a Father, a loving and affectionate Father. He is not a judging, damning, punishing God. I wouldn't believe in that kind of God. And there are people who do. There are whole religions based on a judging and condemning and all-powerful God that you cannot call Father. You cannot say He's loving or merciful or gentle or even sweet. That to me is not a God. That's the opposite of God. But in the sacred scriptures, from the very moment of creation until now, we have seen nothing but the merciful love of the Father. That's what Jesus did. He came to earth to show us exactly what divine mercy is, so that none of us would have an excuse to turn our backs against this Father of love and mercy. He shows us exactly to what extent God will go to show us that love, to give us that love, to bring that love to perfection within us. Jesus is not only our example, He's our very life. We consume His body, blood, and soul, and divinity so that we can become Christ. Not just look at Him, not just study Him, not look 2,000 years back and see some historical figure. Christ Jesus died, rose, and ascended to heaven, and He lives. He is born, He lives, He suffers, He dies, and He rises in every single one of us, over and over again. And at every Mass, we are transported to Calvary. At every Mass, we are participants in the one sacrifice of the Lamb, the true Lamb. In the sacraments, we touch not only heaven, but we touch every element of Christ's life, passion, death, and resurrection. That is what the sacred scriptures teach us. Now, if anybody tells you that this God is fearsome, yeah, we should be afraid. But of what? We should be afraid to offend someone who loves us so much. That is the fear of God. Not somebody running around, oh, He's going to smack us down. That's the wrong vision of God. In fact, that's a hellacious vision of God. That is not a God that anybody should believe in. God doesn't punish. He raises up. God redeems. He sanctifies. He saves us from ourselves and our own wickedness. He saves us from our own ignorance and stupidity, because what He does is He gives us His very life. And He does it over and over again. And He offers us one thing after another to help us know His love. Every sunrise is an example of His love. Every time you hear the birds sing, it is the voice of God speaking love to us. Every time you feel the warmth of the sun, you feel His power of love and wisdom and goodness and compassion and generous and generosity. Every drop of rain, His divine providence, His loving care, His tender concern for all things living. That is what the sacred scriptures speak. That is what they teach, and that is what we must live. That is what we must understand and know and follow with all of our hearts. We have to fall in love with God, not be afraid of Him. He doesn't want us to fear into Him. He wants us to love into Him. And we do that through Christ.